I'm Christy Kennedy, and I'm going to share with you my story of grief tonight. At the beginning of the, Mark was playing some music called Amazing Love, and kind of the significant, he asked me what kind of music I would like for tonight, and I said, you know, that song, because as we were going through our grief journey, historically I love to sing and had lots of music around the house. But after we suffered the loss, I couldn't really sing anymore. And so when I'd be in church and I would hear that, I couldn't even mouth the words. But just that song and thinking about God's amazing love just kind of washed over me and gave me peace. And over the last 6 years, I've been able to sing again. And so I love that song. So thank you for playing that tonight. My story begins when I was around 4 years old. I went to church with my grandmother, who played piano for a Free Will Baptist church, which ran attendance of about 35 on a good Sunday. I remember going to revivals with her and was always drawn to church, knowing that I wanted to go to heaven, not that I really understood what that meant at the time. My parents didn't go to church, as my dad didn't go anymore, and my mom was raised Catholic and also didn't attend services. Therefore, I attended church with each of my grandmothers at various times. Hellfire and brimstone on one Sunday with one grandmother, and Catholic services in Latin with the other. I must have been a pretty confused kid. In either event, I loved going and usually spent the night with one of them on Saturday night so I could attend church the next day. If not, my dad would drive me to church, drop me off, and come back and pick me up, which was the case from 6 years old until I was 16 and could drive. If he didn't want to drive me, I would beg until he relented and took me. I just seemed to have this very strong sense of needing to be in God's house. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at age 12, and my mother started attending church with me, and we were baptized at the same time. My walk with God continued through high school and college while making many mistakes along the way. I was engaged in college my senior year to a youth minister. He was a pilot and flying to see me to attend a Christmas party when his plane went down. While this was devastating loss at 20 years old, I trusted that God had another plan for me and that there was someone else he had chosen for me. I was right. About a year later, I met my husband, and we began dated and married 3 years later. Due to some medical issues I had, we knew it might take a while to get pregnant, so we started the process after about a year of marriage, knowing that it might be several years before we had a baby. After 3 years of hormone shots, 8 artificial inseminations, we decided that our only hope was in vitro fertilization, IVF. There were a lot of prayers and tears during those years, but we trusted that God had a plan for us, and indeed he did. We started down the dual path of adoption and IVF in hopes that something would work and we would have a baby. We were working with an adoption agency that worked through a Christian crisis pregnancy center, which counseled girls out of having abortions. The agency generally had the opportunity to place about 12 babies a year, but in the midst of the process, we found out that we were being transferred back to Texas, and the agency didn't have a license for cross-state border adoptions. We were devastated. And when I spoke with our contact, she said, just don't give up hope. And I said, Debbie, someone would have to walk in the door 7 months pregnant for us to be able to make the adoption work before our move. She just kept saying, don't give up hope. 2 weeks later, we received a phone call from the agency, and a young girl, 7.5 months pregnant, came to the clinic, and she picked our profile for us to adopt her baby. Meanwhile, we were pursuing IVF with twice daily blood tests, more hormones, and all of the things that entails. We received a call from the agency that the birth mother was in labor at noon on July 7th, 1987. My husband and I met at home and waited for a call. We waited all night and heard nothing. I was scheduled for IVF the next morning at 6 a.m., so I went in for surgery and was released later that afternoon. And lying on the sofa, when at 8 p.m., we received a call that we needed to go to the other hospital in the city. Our son Patrick was born that night at 10 o'clock. The nurse brought him in to us, and we were shocked to see that the delivery nurse, who had been with the birth mother for over 36 hours, was a member of our Sunday school class who had been praying with us for a baby. About 10 weeks later, we learned that the IVF was successful, and at 5 months, we discovered we were having twin girls. Thus, Patrick was born the day our daughters were conceived. We were praying for a baby, and God answered our prayers and more as we now had three babies. We had trusted God, and he had provided far more abundantly than we would have ever dreamed of asking for. It was very apparent to us that all the trials of infertility were based on God's timing, as he planned for us to be Patrick's parents in addition to our daughters, Alex and Erin. Needless to say, it was a little crazy, but we were so deliriously happy that the chaos and lack of sleep were welcome as we had the family we had prayed for. We had trusted God, and everything was wonderful. During the next 14 years, we settled into the Kennedy normal. We had three children in the same grade, with the realization that we were only going to have these experiences once, as there was no next time to learn from. Therefore, we jumped into everything with the kids: softball, football, lacrosse, gymnastics, piano, voice lessons, boy and girl scouts. Each child was very unique. Patrick had a huge heart with a big smile and would light up the room when he walked in. He had a huge personality and was a constant source of laughter in our home. However, at 14, he hit puberty and things started changing. The happy child we knew was rarely seen anymore. He was diagnosed as severely depressed and suffering from anxiety. We sought help through both prescriptions and therapy. Patrick hated the medicine, as he said it made him feel numb and cut off from the world. The struggle continued for the next 2 years through various medical and therapeutical routes. He continued to be frustrated and ultimately sought out other resources for relief from the pain and depression. 2 months after he turned 17, we received a call that he was in jail for drug possession. We quickly realized that we needed to send him to rehab, but discovered he wasn't serious about it. So we ultimately initiated an intervention whereby ex-Navy SEALs came to our home at 5 a.m. in the morning and escorted him to a boarding school in Georgia. Throughout this process, we experienced the oversight of God as options were presented and decisions made. The first 4 months were difficult, as we could not visit him, and phone calls were disappointing, as he was still very angry at us. However, over the next 2 years, we grew closer again as Patrick was on his meds and receiving daily counseling. At this point, he was diagnosed as bipolar, so this helped to explain some of what we were dealing with. Although the road was rocky, he graduated from high school and received several awards, including one for Most Compassionate. He came home after graduation and enrolled in community college until we felt comfortable with him going away to a four-year university. 2 months later, I was out of town and called to tell him goodnight. He asked when I'd be home and could we have friends over for family dinner that weekend. I said, of course, and that I loved him. The next morning, I called to ensure he was up for school, and my husband told me that he couldn't wake him up. They rushed him to the emergency room, but they couldn't revive him. Our son had died at 19 years old. His heart was damaged from the drugs and complicated by the weight he had gained due to the medications he was taking. By the time I flew home 14 hours later, our house was filled with friends and family. Our daughters were 2 months into their freshman year in college. They were devastated, as the three of them had been together through everything. Their friends flew in from all over the country to surround them with love, which helped as Mickey and I dealt with other family members and the many details of planning a service. Looking back on that week, I realized that God sent us many angels to help us through this. We had a group of four couples that took a week out of their lives to be at our home and take care of things, as some days we were unable to function. Every loss is different, but that of a child is especially challenging, as it's not the natural order of things, and as parents we are programmed to protect our children, and it felt like that we had failed. The Celebration of Life service was beautiful, with over 600 people attending. We have numerous Jewish friends and neighbors, and many had never stepped inside a church. We heard over and over again stories whereby Jewish friends commented to our Christian friends that they were so surprised at the positive message of a Christian funeral. Friends and family called daily to check on us and stopped by as we started trying to go about our lives. Initially, I was very selfish and was thinking only about me and what I had lost. However, I instantly realized that I had to focus on my daughters, as this was very scary to them, and my outward emotion regarding the loss of their brother put doubt in their minds as to whether I loved Patrick more than them. This, of course, was not the case, but I realized that I had to keep my thoughts and emotions in check when I was around them and needed to be there for them. initially my husband and I talked, but I wanted to continually talk about it and replay the facts and what could we or should we have done differently. My husband was very pragmatic in saying that we don't understand these things that are in God's hands and that we couldn't change what had happened. Over time, I grew frustrated that our conversations on the topic were very short. I realize now that he was also hurting so badly, but his way of coping was different than what I needed. At the time, I didn't know it, but over 80% of couples who lose a child end up getting a divorce. I truly can understand that, as men and women deal with loss so differently. Thank goodness one of my doctors realized the tremendous struggle I was having and suggested a grief counselor. He contacted the woman and had her reach out to me. I doubt I would have made the contact if it had been up to me. During the initial meeting, I asked her if she was Christian because I told her that I needed to process this with someone, but I didn't need someone to redirect my spirituality away from God. I now had a venue where I could cry, scream, question all that had happened with no judgment, just guidance to the truth. I was so angry at God and did not understand how he could have let this happen. I recalled all the events that had transpired for Patrick to be a part of our lives and the wonderful person that I knew he could have been if he was in a good mental state. Why would God provide all these wondrous things in our life and then let him die? I'm constantly reminded of the verses in Jeremiah, Ephesians, and the Psalms where God says that he knew us before we were created and he knows of our days. The thought that God gave us Patrick, knowing that he would only be with us for 19 years, seems so cruel. My faith was numb for the next few years as I went through the motions of church, as I knew that God had not left me. I had just left God, and I wasn't ready to be back in his presence. I was empty. I tried to pray and couldn't. Many times in my prayer was just that. God, I know I need to pray, but I can't. I don't know what to ask for because I asked for healing for Patrick and you didn't grant that. Therefore, how can I trust you to answer any new prayers? I was very honest. Holidays were hard in the beginning, but again, we were surrounded by friends and family to help us through the first ones. We adjusted traditions as needed to honor the fact that Patrick is not here with us anymore on this earth, which helps to keep his memory alive. You don't get over someone's death. You get through it. Grief is a journey, and it's not a straight road. It is very circuitous. Many times I thought I was doing pretty well, but then I would hear a song or smell a young adult's cologne, and it would send me into weeks of depression. The loss of Patrick has impacted our family in many ways. I no longer walk through the living room and stumble upon size 12 shoes that have been left in the middle of the floor. Oh, how I wish that would happen again. Although we were always a close family, I think the loss has heightened the need to spend time together. If we think of something we need to do, we do it now, and we don't wait until next year. There may not be a next year. Over the last 6 years, we've had some wonderful trips with our daughters, spending a lot of time together, which has brought us even closer. The fact that our 24-year-old daughters still want to go on vacation with us is quite amazing. During this journey, I attended Grief Share about 3 years into our loss. It helped reassure me that the things I was feeling were normal. I was also reminded that others are hurting also, and I was not the only one dealing with grief. It also reinforced the need to turn to God with all my fears and pain, and that he was there for me. We're functioning better and have more good days than bad. However, there's still not a day that goes by that I don't think of Patrick. If you had told me 6 years ago that I would be in a position to stand before a group of people and tell them I survived the loss of my son, I would have sworn you were crazy, as in the beginning, I couldn't even breathe. I still don't understand why the events occurred as they did. However, I'm beginning to feel alive again and making future plans. I care about things again, and I'm finding joy at times in living. My dad always used to tell me that the challenges we face in life build character. Well, Daddy, I've had enough character building to last me a lifetime. As I reflect back on the last few years, I do think there are lessons that I've learned that might be helpful to others. One, although the loss was significant, I still have many blessings in my life and am focused on them, including my husband and my girls. In the midst of grief, God provides many angels to lift us up and get us through the moment, including friends, family, and even strangers. Be gentle with yourself. Take time to just be. You're grieving, and the drive and energy that you once had may be depleted as grief is tiring both physically and emotionally. You do not get over your loss. You just get through it and develop a new normal for daily living. Time does take the sting out of the loss, and now as I think or speak of Patrick, it is with fond memories versus sadness. The people you thought would be there to support you may not be the ones that actually are there. I thought it would be my family. In reality, it was a very close friend who stuck through all of this with me. Children are not ours. They are gifts from God. Cherish the time you have with those you love and tell them how you feel about them every day. Patrick's death was not about me. It was about Patrick. The reason I cried so much and grieved so long was that I loved so much. How thankful am I that God gave us Patrick, if only for 19 years. I prayed for God to heal Patrick emotionally, and he did answer that prayer, just not the way I had planned. For Patrick is in heaven and is singing in God's choir. This is not the path I would have chosen for my life, but God has provided for me many times more abundantly than I could ever have imagined, and I must trust him that his plan is perfect. God has waited patiently for me to return to him as I've dealt with my anger and loss, just like any father does with his child as he loves me.